Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio, Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2. All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game, including the Women's Super League.
Cleared off the line by Steph Horton.
The UEFA Women's Champions League and the Euro 2021 qualifiers.
Lana Clellan striking from outside the penalty area.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
And she scores!
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Women's Football Weekly. Surprising signings and stunning scorelines. What a week in women's football. 9 is the magic number. Arsenal keep their foot firmly on the gas.
Smidema, who couldn't quite reach it, but look at that for a finish. It's a splendid goal from Beth Mead, and it's raining goals here.
Anything you can do, we can do, the same. Chelsea hit 9 at King's Meadow too.
Receives it back from Kerr. Oh, and that is, what a fantastic goal. Pernilla Harder, that is world class.
We'll get stuck into the rest of the weekend's results and assess some of the WSL's new super signings.
The only other place I would have went was obviously just to have stayed at Lyon. Although there was a little interest, I just said, I don't want to speak to you.
That was Lucy Bronze, of course, but we'll also speak to Spurs joint head coach Juan Amoros as World Cup winner Alex Morgan comes over to Blighty for more than just a cup of tea. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Fran Kirby and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Well, we have our own super signings in the studio today. A double debut going on. Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, it's kind of your full debut because we've had you on the phone before, former Liverpool striker, of course. Great to have you with us. What have you been up to?
I've been across all the games. I've been doing bits and bobs and covering the game. So it's been a great start to the season. For me on the weekend, I was watching the Sheffield game. Frank Kitchen, the keeper there, was my best mate and roomie in Liverpool. And again, with the Leicester connection, I'm from Leicester myself. So had a bit of a vested interest in that one. It was a really good game to watch in the Championship.
Yeah, finished 2-2, didn't it? Top of the Championship, those two. Molly Meckelwhite. Oh, God, I've just pronounced your name wrong. I knew I was going to do that.
It's easily done.
I'm so sorry. I hate it when people say Carruthers.
That's normally me with
nuts.
A double-barreled name.
How are you?
Very well,
I know you've
had
a weekend off, so I'm not expecting you to have been at a game, but what did you have your eye on?
Watching from the sofa. So, I mean, 9 different goal scorers at Chelsea was pretty difficult to miss and ignore, especially with a back heel special. So, ooh. I mean, that caught my eye.
And that was one of the signings that we're going to be talking about, of course, Pernilla Harder with that gorgeous back heel for Chelsea. First, though, we're talking about a special arrival on these shores.
Here is Hullren into the area. Here's Morgan with a header. And she meets it. And she scores. Alex Morgan for the United States of America puts them back in front. Take that by White. But Alex Morgan says, anything you can do, I can do as well. She goes level in the race for the Golden Boot. But more significantly, she's put the United States back in front.
world of women's football took a collective intake of breath last week when Tottenham Hotspur women announced the signing of the USA's superstar forward Alex Morgan, subject to her obviously obtaining a visa. What were your opinions of this, ladies?
It was a bit of a bolt from the blue, actually. I think normally with women's football and being involved, you get murmurs of certain transfers, but yeah, it was just, I saw it on Twitter myself and I was like, that is very interesting. And I think that's a big coup for Spurs. You look at, you know, the big clubs that would love to have her, and, you know, no disrespect to Tottenham, but they're probably not, you know, part of that big three that you'd expect your major signings to go to. So, you know, amazing work must have been going on behind the scenes there.
Absolutely. Jaw on the floor, Molly?
I mean, yeah, like you say, Courtney, I mean, everyone was shocked by it. I couldn't believe it. Was very happy to see it, and happy to see a new mum also joining the league. That's a huge, I mean, a really significant part of the transfer story, I think. She only gave birth, what, like 4 months ago?
In May.
Yeah.
So. I know. She said, I think her daughter's name's Charlie, and she said first stamp in Charlie's passport is going to be the UK. I don't think she's here yet, but listen, let's find out exactly how this came about by speaking to Spurs joint head coach Juan Amoros. Juan, how are you doing? You must be cock-a-hoop at the moment.
Yeah, we are very happy. We are very happy here at Spurs, obviously, with the news of Alex coming to us. So, yeah, very excited to work on her.
What a coup that is. Tell us exactly how it came about.
Realistically, obviously, it was the last few days of the transfer market, and once the opportunity came across of signing a player of the caliber of Alex, I think the club, the board, everyone has been really pushing to make it possible. And obviously, it's a player that Karen and myself, and really any football fan, we know really well that when they asked us that the option was there for us to sign, both of us were very excited. I think it was a no-brainer, this is. So, yeah, very, very, very happy. And I think the club has done a fantastic job to get that through.
Absolutely, they have. Now, did Alex Morgan's agent approach you as a club, or did you approach Alex Morgan's agent?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think those calls, in women's football or in football in general, there is a lot of communications between clubs, agents, coaches, and I think the communication was there and the opportunity came up. I don't think it was just one way or the other. The conversations were happening, and once obviously we are a massive club, Tottenham Hotspur, and Alex is obviously a great player as well. So I think it will be a great experience for both, really. I think both have a lot of ambitions, us as a club and her as a player, and I'm sure that the future will be very exciting for both, really.
Hi Juan, it's Courtney Sweetman-Kirk here. Just a quick question from me. How do you feel from a coaching perspective of a player of that gravitas coming in? Do you feel like you're going to have to change your coaching style or the way that you manage her compared to the players that you've got in the squad at the moment?
I mean, for us, obviously, Alex is a great number nine that is going to help us. As you know well, we are a team that, in our journey, in our values is that we try to dominate games and not only win football matches, but also dominate those games. So I think Alex definitely will help us on those. I think for us, the main thing at the moment is making sure, like what we do with every player that join us, like the last two has been Alana and Shalina also, Alana Kennedy and Shalina Fedorsky also, with great profile internationally. And what we focus first and foremost here as a club is making sure that the person is right. I think in this case, Alex obviously is coming with a baby, a new mom. I think we are studying a lot how we can do the best we can with her, with the strength and conditioning department, lead by David Martinez, he's already working on that, and we've got Sarah Bart on the medical side also on the case. We've got a fantastic group of coaches, we obviously led by Karen and myself, that are going to do the best to get the best of her for the time that we have with us. So I think in this case, she's a great player, but at the end of the day, she's a person like all of us, so we need to make sure that she is right on those aspects, and I'm sure with the team of people that we have, we can make that happen.
Hi Juan, Molly McElwee here. With all that in mind, obviously, like you say, she's a new mum and she's been off for a while. When can we expect to see her on the pitch and actually playing?
I think that for us, hopefully very soon. We know she's been working really hard. I think you can see that in her social media, how she was pregnant and is the ultimate professional, probably working extremely hard to keep fit even during that pregnancy. We are aware that after that she's doing everything possible to be back as soon as possible after obviously giving birth, but at the same time making sure she does that on the right terms and on the right conditions. So at the moment, working very hard to make sure that she is in the right place, and I'm sure we will be able to see her and enjoy her football and her goals very, very soon with the Spurs top one.
Juan, what's the latest on the visa situation? Because I know that her joining was subject to visa approval.
Yeah, well, I think that with the visa, I don't think it's an issue because she meets the requirements that now international players need. So I think those are things that are work in progress. I think there's a lot of work going behind the scenes. Obviously, it was a deadline day transfer, and that brings a lot of paperwork and a lot of different things to be organized by the club, where our head of football, the people within the club, in the board, are working extremely hard to make it happen, because unfortunately we are living in a world at the moment with this pandemic that we can't forget is still around us, that we need to make sure everything is done in the right way in a safe way, and I'm sure there has been a lot of work going on behind the scenes, but I'm pretty sure all with the fantastic club, the fantastic people we have behind the scenes as well, it's going to be sorted all without problems.
What kind of statement do you think it is from Tottenham Hotspur?
Well, I think we've been a club that we've been in a journey, don't we? Like Karen, myself, and the rest of the staff, we've been here for a long time. We've got players that have been in Tier 3, playing in all over England in very difficult places, and now we are attracting like the best players in the world, and I think that shows a lot, not only in England, but in the world, where's the statement of Tottenham Hotspur as a club on the women's side. I think it's a great push from the club. I think it's definitely a great step forward in terms of supporting the women's side. And I think we are one club. We see football as a sport. It doesn't matter, obviously, if it's men or women. And I think the club is doing everything possible to make sure that we are where we deserve to be as a club on both aspects. So I think it's a great statement, and I think it's great for not only for us, but also for the league, for the WSL. You know, I think the WSL, truly after this transfer, there's going to be the league with the most attention in the world this year, without any doubt, and that's going to be only beneficial for everyone. So yeah, I think it's a great statement from the club, and for us will be an honour to receive Alex. I think Alex also is going to come to an environment we've got a fantastic group of players where the girls that, you know, have been together for a while, and now this some of them on their second year already are doing a fantastic job, and I'm sure she's going to fit fantastically well with them.
Hi, Juan. Courtney again. You talk about obviously what Alex can bring on the pitch, and I think that's pretty obvious to people if she can get herself up to fitness quickly. But in terms of the commercial aspect, maybe not something that you thought about, but do you think that played a part in trying to bring Alex, you know, in from higher up within the Spurs hierarchy, the sort of the shirt sales and the marketing that, you know, you just see it on Twitter, the fact that you've announced it, there was such a big outpouring of people that couldn't really believe it, and the traction that you get from that. Was that something that was included in a transfer as well and thought about?
Yeah, obviously every aspect. When we sign a player, any player we sign, and in the professional world, you need to look at everything that player brings. Like we look obviously on the pitch at the, you know, we call it the five corners here. Tottenham Hotspur women, like the physical, the social, and the technical, tactical, and the psychological. But then also there is other added values to the people that come to the club. You know, there is markets. There is a lot of things that have an impact in making the decision to sign a player or not signing a player, and when all of them are positives and you get a great player and she get a great commercial value, I think it's only positive, and it's only something that that you're going to consider for the good. She's also gone fantastic, you know, like everyone you speak about Alexis, they only say good things, how professional she is, how she raises standards, how hard she works, how she tries to do everything she can for the team. She's led the U.S. women national team being the captain. Like, it's all positives. There is nothing there that you might think, oh, like she's controversial or she has something that... No, she's absolutely outstanding. She works a lot on, you know, on equality campaigns. She works a lot on, you know, non-governmental, you know... She's all positive in terms of her image. So for us, obviously, those things are added value that is considered. But obviously, for us, the main attributes come with her on the pitch.
Just finally and quickly, Juan, we've seen the reaction on social media, obviously, but what was the squad reaction when they heard the news?
Well, they are extremely excited. Obviously, we got a couple of players, as I said, they've played with her before, so I'm quite, you know, they've already enjoyed the experience here, and probably they even, you know, like when Alex probably spoke with them to see how was the things here, they were already very happy, and they're very happy to that she's coming. But then the rest of the players, we go obviously other forwards that you might think, oh, they might be concerned. We already got Karen and myself, Rihanna Dean, saying how exciting she is to work with her, because obviously Rihanna Dean is the number nine, one of the number nine is promising for England, starting normally for England under 20s or 21s when they go collapse, and the players are very excited to work with her, because she, as I said, she got, you know, a fantastic name, but this is also, you know, what people say about her. Person is only good thing. So we are a group of people first and foremost, and we like to work on great players, and so everyone in the squad is extremely excited to have Alex with them. So I'm pretty happy when we let the team know that she was coming. The reaction was outstanding from all of them, captains, leadership group, the players, whatever is their age, like they were all very, very happy to welcome her. So it's something to be proud of, to be honest.
Absolutely, you should be proud, Juan, for sure. An absolute pleasure talking to you as ever as well. Juan Amoros there, Spurs joint head coach. Excited, as you heard, about the arrival of the USA forward Alex Morgan, as are we all. So that's five members of the World Champions squad now plying their trade in the WSL. Sam Mewis and Rose Lavelle at Manchester City, Tobin Heath and Kristen Press at Manchester United, as well as Alex Morgan. We'll wait to see when she first sets foot on the pitch for Tottenham Hotspur, hopefully soon. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on Talk Sport 2 with former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Telegraph sports journalists Molly McKelvey. I will do it right, Molly, I promise. Women's Football Weekly is the only show, by the way, on national radio dedicated to women's football, here every Monday 6 till 7, bringing you all you need to know in the game. If you miss any or want to listen again, we're available on podcast. Download us and subscribe on Apple and Spotify products. Next up, though, we'll chat to Lucy Bronze and Alex Greenwood on their return to the FAWSL.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hello, this is Farah from Reading FC Women. You're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on Talk Sport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers, former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, and Telegraph sports journalist Molly McKelvey. There we go, third time lucky.
Nailed it.
Right, so following the arrivals of Pernilla Harder and the five USA World Cup winners was the return of England stars and Champions League winners Lucy Bronze and Alex Greenwood, who both left Lyon to join Manchester City. For Lucy Bronze, it was the return after 3 years to the club she won so much with, but for Alex Greenwood, it was swapping red for blue, as she was Manchester United captain when they were in the Championship before she left for France. I caught up with both of them last week. Let's hear from Lucy first, who told me why she wanted to return to the FAWSL.
England's has been and always will be my biggest goal, and to win something with England, it's always top of my priority list, you know, which is kind of a big reason for wanting to move back to England, to be close to the team and to help influence the team more. And I mean, what a greater opportunity than the next kind of couple of years, 3-4 years, with all the competitions at home, Euros especially, that'll be, you know, probably the highlight of my career if I am to make it into the team then and the squad. But at a club level, I've had that individual success in terms of, you know, winning Champions League as an individual in a team abroad. But, you know, I want to bring that success back to England, back to City. Obviously, City's a team that's used to winning silverware anyway, but I want the team to win more silverware, be more consistent, get back to winning the league, push to make Champions League final, just take the team to the next level. You know, I could have stayed at Lyon and had the same goals every single year, but I think people who know me know that I like to challenge myself. I like to give myself different challenges and different goals, and that's probably the biggest reason for coming back and wanting that change.
That's Lucy Bronze there, obviously returning to Manchester City, England's right back. Delighted to have her back, Courtney. Delighted now you're not playing that she's back.
Yeah, definitely. But of course, you want the best players to come to the league, and that definitely includes Lucy Bronze. Obviously, she's been a stalwart in the England team because she's been fantastic and arguably one of our best players for the last few years. So it's exciting for the league. It's obviously exciting for Manchester City. There'll be a lot of wingers that won't be very excited, I can tell you that. But no, it's very good for the league. And obviously for the Lionesses, it just makes things slightly easier when you're an international and, you know, you've probably leaving camp a little bit earlier or coming a little bit late. So that'll make her life slightly easier as well. And obviously, I think a personal thing is you always want to be at home. And again, that'll probably, you know, make her life a little bit easier and just be more settled.
Yeah, she's been out there for 3 years now. Thoroughly enjoyed her time out in Lyon when I've spoken to her about it. But that's a really good point you make, Courtney, because actually she said that herself in the interview, that being in England during this transition phase for the Lionesses was really important to her. And she wanted to be, you know, not coming a day or 2 days late into the camp and things like that. And with two big years coming up, that's going to be crucial for her. But from a WSL point of view, how crucial is it that, you know, we lost a lot of these big players out to clubs like Lyon? How crucial is it that we're now getting them back?
I think it's really crucial. I think that Lucy Bronze was just a huge kind of figure during the World Cup, and it's what drew a lot of people to the Lionesses. And I think also her intentions that she's kind of vocalised and coming back to Man City have been really important. I'm kind of impressive, her kind of saying, I want to create a legacy in the way that Wendy Renard created her legacy at Lyon, which, yeah, it's kind of an exciting and it's a big statement to make. And you want the kind of characters and players that are going to be here to kind of hopefully make that happen, but also to make those kind of storylines as well. It attracts people to the game in a really big way, I think.
Yeah, and these are kind of superstars that we've seen now plying their trade in the World Cup and becoming household names. Alex Greenwood, another one. She said she expects a backlash from the fans. You know, Manchester United fans never happy when someone crosses over the Manchester border, but she's desperate to taste Champions League success again.
The feeling I had when we won that Champions League last week was something I can't really put into words. And it's something that sticks with you and you just want to do it again and again and again. And that's exactly why I've come to this football club. It's like I said, it's so ambitious. It wants to win trophies and titles, and that's the same for me. And if we can do that, then it will be an unbelievable achievement for the club.
Unbelievable achievement for the club, certainly. Unbelievable achievement for Alex Greenwood, bearing in mind she was playing Championship football just 2 years ago. Great to have her back. And you really didn't, I mean, look, we're going to talk about Manchester City. I mean, how utterly ridiculous that, you know, we've got all these fantastic players plying the trade in the WSL and half of them are at Manchester City. Yeah, that was the only game that was goalless this weekend. But anyway, we'll get onto that in a second. But what I did notice in that game is how solid both Alex Greenwood and Lucy Bronze were coming back, just slotted straight back in, Courtney.
Yeah, and that's no mean feat in terms of everything that's up in the air and COVID. They've won the Champions League and then they're coming back. They've got to get straight into a new team. So I think that's testament to them both as professionals that how well they've done that. And yeah, they didn't look like they'd been away. And for Man City, that's fantastic. And, you know, like you say, Alex only a few years ago was in the Championship, albeit, you know, it was a full-time outfit. But again, to have Alex back in the league, I know she's taken a lot of stick. And I've seen that on socials and from someone that sort of crossed the Merseyside line. It's not always the easiest thing to do. And I think it's different for women's football. It is, because you've got to go, you know, it's only sometimes 1 year, 2 year contracts, and it sounds crude at times, but you've got to go not where the money is, but where you can earn a living. So I think that's something that some people need to appreciate. It's different in the men's game because you maybe don't have to cross that line financially. I was a bit disappointed. I get where fans are coming from, but, you know, seeing it, it's not a nice thing. And I was a bit disappointed to see she's taken some stick. But that's, you know, as footballers, that's what we deal with. So,
how much stick did you get when
quite a bit. I keep seeing the snake emojis. That's what I saw for Alex and I saw the same one. So it sort of, it brought it back for me. But no, I think, you know, she's professional. She'll deal with it. I sort of, not very well, but I know of Alex and she's a good girl. So I'm sure she'll take that, you know, on the chin. And, you know, the best way that she'll get over that is to do something spectacular. I imagine in the next game, she's a great technical footballer. That left foot is a one. So hopefully she'll bang one in a top corner. And that'll maybe quiet some people down.
Absolutely. She's a friend of Women's Football Weekly as well. We've had her on regularly on the phone. So we wish her the best of luck as well. And as I said, pretty ironic, really, that all of that creativity and class, Manchester City, were held to a goalless draw by Brighton. Great result for Hope Powell's side, though. We will get into the analysis of it shortly, but elsewhere on week two of the Women's Super League, it was goals galore.
It's Lisa Evans, unselfishly squares the ball into the path of Caitlin Ford, who rolls the ball into the net, and Arsenal have scored goal number nine.
Slips in Sam Kerr, that's a good first touch, and the second one is in the back of the net, and she does have her goal, 9-0.
They're at sixes and sevens at the back. Russo squares it across unselfishly, all over, United with their fifth.
Sorensen with a deep cross, and that's a fine header from Christensen. A lovely goal for Everton.
Chance to put some daylight between Reading and Villa. Oh, calmly done from Farrah Williams. The sheer audacity of that.
Can Brighton hold out? There is the final whistle. What a point. And they have stopped Manchester City at home from winning and scoring.
31 goals across the FAWSL this weekend. We'll be getting into all of them shortly. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. I'm joined by former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Telegraph sports journalist Molly McElwee. If you miss any of the show, you can catch up by downloading and subscribing to our podcast, which is available through Apple and Spotify products. Just search TalkSport and Women's Football Weekly. Coming up, we'll go through the rest of the weekend's action on the only dedicated national radio show for women's football.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Karen Hills from Tottenham Hotspur Women, and you're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. As Jordan Nobbs said, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers, and I'm with former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Telegraph sports journalist Molly McElwee. Do you know what it is? It's every time I say journalist and I put an extra S on it for no reason whatsoever.
It's a lot.
It's a good name, though. It's a very good name.
Thank you.
Right, so 31 goals, as I said, before we disappeared very briefly. Let's start off, shall we, with West Ham 1, Arsenal 9. Now, this was actually played in front of a crowd of around about 500 or 600 because it was one of the test events. Up to 1,000 were allowed. Obviously, with new restrictions coming in, I think perhaps a lot of people just thought maybe not. But it was really nice, you know, watching the pictures and actually seeing a crowd there for a start, Courtney.
Yeah, definitely. I switched over to it. It was one of the ones that I had a look at, and I didn't remember it was a test event, so I heard the crowd noise and I'm thinking, are they putting crowd noise onto the women's football now? But no, it was fantastic. It's nice. I think that as a footballer, that's what you play for. Obviously, you play for your teammates and for yourself, but ultimately you play for the fans to give them that excitement. So it's great to have them back, and hopefully, obviously the restrictions change every day, but hopefully that can keep building and women's football get less of a crowd as men. So you'd like to think that we can keep building that up, and like say the women's football can be the test for all sport, really.
It can be. Obviously not the best result for West Ham. I mean, we had Matt Beard, West Ham manager, in on Women's Football Weekly last weekend, and you know, he was optimistic about the game. You know, he knows the threat that Arsenal pose, but obviously losing their captain, Gilly Flatty, early on in that first half, two yellow cards, second one was for dissent. But let's just have a quick listen to what Matt Beard had to say, because he wasn't overly chuffed with the officiating.
Look, the officials have had a massive impact in the first half, but they haven't had an impact in the result. The frustrating thing for me is I haven't seen them back yet, but I've been told two of the goals in the first half were offside, and it's obviously led to Gilly getting sent off. You know, Gilly wears her heart on her sleeve, and obviously she has to stay in control at that moment. I just don't think we got the rubber to green in any of the decisions with the referees today or the officials. It's just frustrating.
That was Matt Beard there, West Ham manager, talking to Talk Sports, Jake Robson. Molly McElwee, what do you think? Was he right there? I mean, a couple of the goals, you know, decent shouts for offside.
Yeah, they were decent shouts for offside, and you can feel for him because I guess like the first half hour was quite even, and it does kind of really impact the game when you lose your player either way, and for them to lose their player and also feel like, oh, actually those two goals could have gone either way. Yeah, it was a real shame, and obviously the end result just showed it kind of put the game to bed at that moment, really. Yeah, you can't take anything away from Arsenal either, though, because they were just relentless in their attacking game, as they always are. But yeah, you can feel for him, especially, yeah, like you say, he was very optimistic going into it. And West Ham have had some great signings, Rachel Daly, and have a lot of kind of backing behind them. So you kind of want them to do well to show that was all worth it. And hopefully it will come together a bit later in the season. But yeah, It wasn't their weekend.
Gilly Flaherty did tweet after the game. She said, "I wasn't going to tweet anything regarding yesterday's game, as if."
Yeah.
And I have to be careful here in what I say. Come on, Gilly, we know you all better than that. First of all, I didn't get the second yellow because I lost my head because I'm playing against my old team. I got a second yellow for me telling the lino it was a poor decision. Ultimately, as a result of this, the people I've let down are my teammates, staff, who I've apologised to, and I would also like to apologise to our incredible fans. The decision killed the game and ruined what would have been a great game. People will have their own opinions on it and think I'm wrong or think I'm awful as a player or a person or whatever, but that's sweet. However, something needs to be done regarding the standard of officiating in our league, because we as players and clubs are getting let down week in, week out because of it. This is something that we've talked about on Women's Football Weekly regularly. I have had a bid in with the FA to talk to the head of referees, Joanna Stimpson. Courtney, how much do we need an improvement?
Yeah, a lot. I think between players and managers, it's getting to a point where it's a bit of a running joke, unfortunately. And I've heard a lot of things about VAR and can we bring it into the women's game? But before we do that, the bit of sympathy that I do have with referees and going to the weekend, they were very clear cut. I saw the offsides. They were very clear cut. So in my opinion, the referees, they should be spotting that. It wasn't a close one. It was a good few yards. There was daylight. But the sympathy I do have with referees are they are part-time on their working their full-time jobs and they're coming and refereeing. So at what point is it acceptable to have part-time referees in a full-time league? It's not. So before we talk about VAR and address any of that, we need to, and I don't know how it works. That's a question for the FA, if you can get in touch with them. But we need to have full-time referees that are at that standard to be able to officiate the game, because it does become a running joke, and it lets the women's game down to a degree, and that they are a number of referees that you know are very good. And but, you know, again, there are some referees that you turn up and you just think, I don't want this referee. And again, I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, I'd be like Jilly, I'd be screaming and shouting. Well, I am like that. And, you know, I was screaming and shouting, and I get where Jilly's coming from. And again, like Matt says, she wears a heart on a sleeve, and it can't continually keep happening, because it brings down the women's game. So something needs to be done in terms of getting the referees the amount of training that they need to be able to do their job efficiently, because and again, it's not great for them in terms of bringing referees into the game that are getting screamed at every weekend by 22 girls that aren't very happy. So I think they need help. They need a lot of help, and the FA definitely need to address that before we look at anything else regarding VAR. And like I say, you can't have such a trajectory of the increase in the game for the play-in, the coaching resources that we've got, and not give that to the referees. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, some things definitely need to catch up, that's for sure. Let's look at the positives of this match, though, because Arsenal, again, last week beating Reading, scoring 6 goals. This week, 9-1 against West Ham. But Joe Montemurro, their head coach, says he's not getting carried away.
Statement is probably a word that the journalists like to use. We have our feet firmly on the ground. We understand the circumstances. We understand where we're at. We understand also that we, probably are a little bit more ahead of some teams in terms of preparation because of the Champions League. So, we're keeping our feet firmly on the ground, continuing to believe in what we believe is the best way to play football, keeping the group in a good mentality, to know that there is a lot of competition in the squad, and it's going to be a squad that's going to get us the success this year, not one or two individuals.
Joe Montemurro there, Arsenal manager. Interesting thoughts from him. Very similar to what we hear from Emma Hayes, Chelsea manager, and Gareth Taylor at Manchester City, not getting carried away. You know, you'd kind of expect to hear that after game two. And let's talk about Chelsea and Emma Hayes, because an absolute rampage at King's Meadow. But the best thing about this game, Chelsea 9, Bristol City 0, and we'll talk about Bristol City because they've had a dreadful start to the season. Was it 11-1 or 11-2? They got beaten last year by Arsenal as well. You know, you just don't want to see these kind of score lines. And we know that the problems that Tanya Roxtoby is fighting against at Bristol City as well. But, you know, from a Chelsea point of view, 9 different goal scorers. And Molly, I know how impressed you were with Pernilla Harder's back heel flick. I mean, that was just gorgeous.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. It was, I think with Chelsea, everyone kind of knew going into the season how much kind of firepower they had up front, and it's not something that they were lacking in before anyway. So to see Pernilla Harder come in and do that, to see her link up with Sam Kerr very well as well, and but then to see everyone else get on the score sheet was pretty impressive, especially when there's such kind of competition for places. Emma Hayes has a very difficult decision every week trying to pick her starting 11, I think. And having someone like Beth England, who dominated last season, kind of fighting for a spot, that's obviously a good thing in that it keeps kind of all her players on their toes, but it must be pretty tricky to make a final decision on the team sheet every week.
She'll find it very useful once the Champions League starts up again, though. And I mean, I have got quite annoyed when people have been criticising Arsenal for not bringing in many players, but they're not in the Champions League this season, so they don't have to have the same kind of rotation that Manchester City and Chelsea do, that's for sure. But yeah, really impressive display from Chelsea. How worried are you for Bristol City already?
Yeah, it's not good. And Chelsea were fantastic. But yeah, I think when you're in a squad, and, you know, I'll go from my experience with Liverpool last year, not that we got beat like that, but when you're consistently losing games, it's hard. It's hard personally. It's hard on the squad. It's hard on the management. And yeah, I don't really know how you pick yourself up from that or where you go. It's frustrating because as the game as a whole, it's fantastic for Chelsea, and I'm not saying they don't deserve it. And I think Emma, you know, she did take a bit of stick in the press conference after, because people asking, you know, is this good for the game, and should Chelsea not be doing stuff like this and bringing in these players? And we shouldn't be stunting the growth, but something needs to be done at the bottom end, because consistently now it's becoming a bit of a three-horse league. And I think where do we toe the line with that? What procedures do we put in place to help these lower teams? And is it something like a minimum salary, or I don't know. Again, I don't have the answers. If I did, I'd probably be a very rich woman. But I think score lines like 9-0 and 9-1 aren't necessarily good for the game, because we need to keep it competitive and keep everyone, you know, the Premier League is known as the best league in the world, because anyone can beat anyone, and that's the excitement of it. So it does worry me for Bristol, but also for the league as well.
Courtney Sweetman-Kirk for Prime Minister. Everton 1, Tottenham 0. Izzy Christensen on the score sheet. I mean, you talk about it being a three-horse league, but so far, Everton top of the league. 2 out of 2 for them, and Willie Kirk, 6 points. And Birmingham City 2, Manchester United 5. Manchester United knocking on the door of the top 3-2.
Yeah, interesting game that one was. I watched that game and it was very interesting. And Birmingham, you're looking at it at 2-2. Everyone's probably put the money on them to go down, but did really well. So if more results can go like that, and maybe Birmingham can hold on a little bit more, and it's a 2-2 draw, then that again, it makes the league exciting.
Yeah. Sorry, I liked watching Casey Stoney after the game as well. They asked her what she said at halftime. She just had a little sort of chuckle to herself, and you can imagine that was not the dressing room you want to be in.
No, definitely not. However, Alessio Russo on debut for Manchester United with an assist as well. Come back over from the States, obviously part of Phil Neville / Serena Wiegmann's plans for the Lionesses as well, who we will be talking about shortly. Just a couple of other results to bring you as well. Manchester City 0, Brighton 0. Really good point for Hope Powell's side, that. And Reading 3, Aston Villa 1. A really important result for Reading, having lost 6-0 last week to Arsenal to get back to winning ways, because actually people had tipped them to do all right this season, Molly.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was great to see them pick themselves up, because last week you're watching that game and you're thinking, wow, they're not ready at the minute, and maybe they're not gelling in the way that you want them to. But yeah, getting that result, I think it's a shame for Aston Villa. I mean, I'm kind of rooting for them. I want them to do well. But yeah, you see, maybe they need to kind of adjust their expectations a little bit in the way they approach the games going forward. Maybe, yeah, sort of trying to make sure they're not as vulnerable or exposed in the way they're playing out from the back. But yeah, Reading hopefully will be able to kind of push on from this a little.
Well, listen, we'll be talking about Aston Villa shortly, because they are our spotlight topic today. I'll explain that a little bit more in case you've missed the last two shows. This is Women's Football Weekly on Talk Sport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. Former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Telegraph sports journalist Molly McElwee are with me. If you do miss any of the show, you can either catch up by downloading the Talk Sport app or by subscribing to our podcast, which is on Apple and Spotify products. And we'll take a look at the Lionesses squad next, as they prepare to meet at St George's Park.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Rihanna Dean from Tottenham Hotspur Women, and you are listening to Talk Sport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on Talk Sport 2 with me, Faye Carruthers, former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, and Telegraph sports journalist Molly McElwee. Right, so shortly we're going to talk about the Lionesses as they prepare to meet at St George's Park tomorrow. But the new season is underway. That means Women's Football Weekly is back in its regular 6 till 7pm slot every Monday night on Talk Sport 2. And we also have a new regular feature that we want you to get involved in. So every week we're going to pick a person, a club, or an event from the world of women's football to shine our spotlight on. But we want you to come up with some suggestions of whose story you would like to hear. Is there a player, a coach, or a team, either past or present, who you'd like to know a little bit more about? If so, get a pen, tweet us at TalkSport2 or at Faye Carruthers, or email us. We have a new email address for the new season, womensfootballweekly@talksport.co.uk, with your suggestions, and we'll see what we can do. This week, we're shining a light on Aston Villa. So here's TalkSport2's Alex Biddle.
Five, buckle up. This could be one hell of a season.
Aston Villa Women Football Club was formed in 1973 as Sillihull FC. When Aston Villa asked for help in forming a ladies' team back in 1989, Sillihull responded, and the club agreed to change their name in 1996 to become the officially recognised ladies' team of the Birmingham Bayside.
Non-stop, high-octane, complete entertainment.
In 2014, they were one of 10 teams who were elected in the WSL2, which in 2018 was renamed to the Women's Championship. In 2019-20, Villa won promotion to the WSL and entered the top flight of women's football for the first time since 2004. Aston Villa midfielder Emma Follis spoke to TalkSport 2's Anne-Marie Batson about how the two leagues compare.
It is a massive step up. You've seen a lot of the signings that other clubs have made, who are prolific players. Few other rumours of other American superstars coming over, so to get to play against those, it's going to be a real challenge, but I think a privilege also.
Aston Villa boss Gemma Davies was just 25 years old when she was appointed as head coach, that just 18 months ago, and she started coaching at the age of 15 at Erdington Ladies. Alongside Gemma, though, is sporting director and former England forward Eni Aluko, who joined Villa earlier this year. Defender Anita Asante told TalkSport 2 that her reasoning for joining the club was down to Eni.
I mean, it helped. It was a good thing in terms of I know her very well, obviously, and, you know, like myself, she's been in the game a long time. She's seen how much it has evolved.
An Aston Villa player to watch this season is the Denmark striker Stina Larsson, who arrived in the summer from French club FC Fleury 91. She has a strong reputation across Europe and plenty of experience at Women's Champions League level. She also scored her first WSL goal this weekend with a penalty in a 3-1 loss against Reading.
Straight into the corner, a perfectly struck penalty from Stine Larsson.
Aston Villa's signings this summer also include Chloe Arthur, a midfielder from Birmingham City, defender Anita Asante from Chelsea, and the forward Diana Silva from Sporting Lisbon. So far, Aston Villa haven't made the dent in the WSL they would have liked, having lost their opening two games against Manchester City and Reading. But with the determination and attitude that we know Villa can deliver from last season, I'm sure we haven't seen the best of them yet.
Thank you to TalkSport 2's Alex Biddle for that spotlight on Aston Villa. As I said, please get involved in that. Tell us if you want to hear about another club, maybe your team or another one you don't know too much about, or a person or an event in history maybe that you want to know a little bit more about, and we will shine the spotlight on it for you. Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Molly McKelvey from The Telegraph with me in the studio here on Women's Football Weekly. Just very quickly, we obviously haven't seen the best of Aston Villa yet, but can we expect them to get better, Courtney?
I think they will. I think I'm impressed with the setup behind the scenes as well. Having a director of football and any in that position is fantastic. They did very well in the championship last year, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, they were sort of on a hybrid model. They were full time or almost full time at that point. So I think they're trying to do things in the right way. So there's definitely more to come from them.
Right, we haven't got very long left, so let's rattle through what's going on with England. We do have an England special on Women's Football Weekly next week, Monday between 6 and 7. But they're meeting up today for the first time. I wrote down XXX to research it and say, when was the last time they met up? And then I forgot, so I actually can't remember. And it feels so long ago because we've had lockdown, so I don't know. But it seems like forever, and it certainly hasn't been since Phil Neville announced that he was departing. So I'm going to get to speak to him on Friday, which is very interesting. So you'll get to hear the thoughts of the England manager next Monday on the show. But we've just been going through the squad of 30 players for the training camp for September. They're meeting up at St George's Park tomorrow, which is Tuesday, just in case you're listening to the podcast. One glaring omission for me is goalkeeper Mary Earps, Manchester United's Mary Earps, not there, Molly.
Yeah, I mean, when we were just discussing it, both me and Courtney were kind of like, oh yeah, wait, where is she? It's kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit when I kind of looked at the squad list originally. I'm kind of confused by that myself. I guess maybe bringing in a couple of the younger goalkeepers, Hannah Hampton from Birmingham City Phil Neville might just want to kind of... He seems to have wanted to bring in a lot of young players and maybe in the keeper position as well. But yeah, I'm kind of confused personally about that.
Well, what are we going to learn from this training camp, Courtney? Because there has been an announcement of a friendly in Germany against the Germans in October, the 27th, I think you said it was. what I mean, there's just barely any competitive games, are there, leading up to what's going to be the Olympics now next year and the home Euros the year after. What exactly is he going to learn from this?
Well, he's got a difficult job on his hands. If it wasn't difficult before in terms of everything now that's happened with COVID, it's 10, 20, 100 times worse. So I think he's going to learn a lot about the young players come through. It'd be interesting to see whether the new manager has had an input on that, whether she's got, you know, a bit of a side eye on that watching, because it seems strange at the moment in his tenure to be doing that now, because with the lack of time they've got and lack of games, or would they not be focusing on the Olympics and the players that will play there? And don't get me wrong, fantastic players, the 10 that aren't capped, but you know, you wouldn't expect all of them to focus on the be playing in the Olympics. So a bit of a strange one, but it'll be a great experience for them.
I mean, and these training camps always are an experience, aren't they? Certainly for the younger players to come up, there is a real mix of young and more experienced players, that's for sure. So it'll be very interesting to see exactly what they can do. I'm interested to speak to Phil to see how this transition is going to work, Molly.
Yeah, I think everyone's interested to know, because there's been a lot of confusion around that. You wonder how much Serena Wiegmann, God, I always get that wrong, Wiegmann. they're all tough. Yeah, you wonder how much kind of input she's had already, like Courtney said, and also, I guess, how much of her kind of own team she's going to bring to the England setup as well, because you've seen a big shake-up in Bev leaving or stepping down from her post as assistant manager.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coaching restructure next week on Women's Football Weekly, but our time has run out, unfortunately. An absolute pleasure to have you with us, though. Thanks to former Liverpool striker Courtney Sweetman-Kirk. Hope you're going to come back.
I hope you'll have me back.
We certainly will. And Telegraph sports journalist Molly McElwee.
Thanks very much.
Put your
for
name
having
right
me.
Right at the
yeah.
end. Right,
you made it.
Next week, as I said, it's an England special. I'll be chatting with the outgoing Lionesses manager Phil Neville about this year of transition. Any questions for us during the week? You can email us at womensfootballweekly@talksport.co.uk, tweet us at TalkSport2 or at FakerOthers. And as ever, you can also download the Women's Football Weekly podcast on Apple and Spotify products.
Women's Football Weekly with Faker Others.
Hi, I'm Leah Williamson from Arsenal Women, and you can follow the WSL on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.